You. Let's do that. Or now. About to witness the awesome crushing a might of the Eugene. It's Robinson Show. Stop. Welcome, my friends, to a show that seemingly never ends. This is version 2. help me out. Somebody, what show is this? I think it's 264. Let me try it again. Numbers are hard. 264. I am your host, Eugene S. Robinson. Welcome, as usual, since 2007 in some form or another. 2007, so one from another. Bob Riley from Stigmata has sung us into existence once again. It's Calling of the Just. The song is called That's a Record. The song is called Intro, All of Nothing. Still available from Revelation Records in Huntington Beach, California. Sorry. Where they shoot you to death in a nightclub, hit your car with a hammer, and deservedly run your mayor pro tem out of town on a friggin' rail. I've heard if you curse in the first 3 minutes, it changes the monetizing. Good for this show, there's no monetizing. Listen well.
I'm on my way back to nowhere. I took my time with
could not see so clear, but I'm taking a real good look at you. I'm taking a real good look at your face. So be in payback and for always nothing.
All right, my friends.
Let's get this. I let the whole song play. You know, one of yous actually bought the CD. I'm not going to tell you dude's name. Dude's got a show, Pond Scum. Pod Scum is the name of his show. He actually bought the CD. He said, man, how did I miss this all these years? But he's been listening to the show and just never put together that it's a whole CD. They're a great band. The CD sounds very much like the demo tape that I signed them on the basis of. Brian Holloway used to play professional football, was retained by by Bob Riley's father, who is super well connected to come check me out. You may have heard the story before. I will tell it again. I am aware of the fact I may have told it before. Can't Donna shillelagh me on my own show. However, I'm in my store when I have my store, and Brian Holloway with his big six foot six, 280-pound self comes walking in trying to play tough guy. He's like, hey, Eugene Robinson? I go, I certainly am. Who's asking? And though I've trained myself to not answer to my name in public for fear of a subpoena, I recognized him right away as Brian Holloway. So I knew somewhat I would say, because yeah, Bob Riley Sr. sent me I go, how you doing, Brian? The guy, so then he was caught in this thing of like, clearly I knew who he was. He didn't know the context, but he was at a disadvantage given that he wasn't an anonymous muscle walking in trying to scare some record label guy. So then he waited and I waited and he goes, I'm sorry. Do we know each other? I said, isn't it enough that I know you? I said, I'm friends with Steve Ballinger. You played ball with. He's like, oh, I said, cause I went to Stanford too. Oh, and that changed a total timbre of the conversation. It was supposed to, he was supposed to be a heavy, and it was supposed to show me how much of a reach this guy had. So I better not screw up with his, you know, 17-year-old son flew across country to court a record with me. None of which was necessary, but I appreciate it. Unlike a guy who's a friend of mine. I'm going to share this with you. You notice we had no commercials. This is commercial-free radio, 264. Commercial-free. And this guy, he's well-respected in the community. I don't want to out him. He just signed a big sponsorship deal. And so I don't, his name is not important. Let's just call him Mark for the sake of this discussion. And I just had this discussion with him yesterday. So Mark has taken his, and apropos of this discussion, it started with, No. I appreciate that he did due diligence and attempted to do business by sending a heavy. You just can't send a heavy that's played pro ball who people might know. I mean, you know, if it were me and I walk in like I went into that orgy and the guy looks up and goes, "Yo, Eugene, what are you doing here?" Last thing you want to hear when you walk into an orgy, admittedly, that you've been ID'd, but you got to play that shit through. You know, hey, Brian Holloway, what's going on? This ain't about that. It's about my motherfucking money. Okay, Brian, relax. Give me to relax. So now, yeah, I would have played it through. We're just different cats. So this guy, Mark, I go in to see him, and he said at the point of the conversation where he goes, you know, I never thought I would live. He's understanding. If you follow me on Instagram, I put up the picture of where I'm escaping to. So it maybe makes sense to you after I sell everything I own to get it. He said, you know, it makes sense to me to leave, man. I never thought I'd be in a country where we're having a debate about the rightness or wrongness of pedophilia. And I could see him going down this whole Joe Rogaine. And I want to nip that shit in the bud. And I said, well, there's a guy who wrote an article in which he said, I am a pedophile. And he goes, however, I have not acted on my desire of pedophilia. What are you going to do with me? Or like Dean Martin said, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking, or can you? So this guy says, I have a fucking proclivity for wanting to, but I don't put myself in a position of being with any kids. I'm just being open with you. And I said, it's a tough decision. But I've been around grown non-custodial male with my four daughters. And one guy had the audacity, I'll mention this fucker's name, Roger, was trying to groom my kids in front of me, trying to work on this narrative. So Roger, my kids were involved in horse sports, right? Horse sports. Okay, so these are multi-day events, if you know anything about vaulting, which is gymnastics on horseback. Multi-day events, right? Go on and on. So, you know, if it was the weekend events, special events, there was 1 or 2 days, you would see me. The six-day events or the week-long events, I never had time to go because I was working. Couldn't take off 6 days to hang out to watch my kids do gymnastics on horseback. Yeah, equestrian. So Roger somehow tried to spin this narrative that I was a neglectful father, though I was always taking my kids to practices, though I clearly wasn't as psychotically involved in the sport as my, say, ex-wife or as Roger himself may have been. But I started getting a vibe from Roger. So I want to make sure he saw the eyes that say, I know you. Okay. Guy was a hammer, like Woody Allen line. What I needed was a large polo mallet. Guy wouldn't take the fucking hint. Wouldn't take the hint. Nah, it wasn't Starsky. He was there, if you remember that story. He was there. Roger was a big guy. He was like 6'4", and used this to his advantage. Now, there was this Kentucky paratrooper who you've heard me talk about before. Tim Runyon was his name. Runyon was a power lifter, but was like 5'2", but I watched him when he dealt with bigger guys. It was great. He would stand so close to you if you were a bigger guy that you were instantaneously uncomfortable. I don't know if he had animalized this or thought it through, but he just instinctively went for that. It's like, you're not going to be looking down at me. Fuck your height. You know, so Roger's this guy, he's sort of towering over me. I take a page from Tim Runyon's book, Step Into Him. But at one point, I'm there with my previous youngest, And he's like, hey, there's some sheep in the barn. You want to see? I'm fucking standing there. I say, we'll go look later. He goes, no, I'll take her now. I go, you won't. We will go look later. He goes, but they're right there. I go, we will go later. You okay with that? And the guy goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I know in my heart of hearts, I'll pick up a newspaper one day and I'll see Roger's face on the fucking cover. So because then the option at that point is for me to go get streety, you know, but I get streety in a very Eugene-esque way. I was like, is it your desire that I go around the barn and fuck you up? Or do we don't even have to go to the barn? We could do it right here. You let me know what your preference is. So Mark, I share these stories with Mark, and Mark says, like, I always try anybody non-custodial male in touch with my kids. I make sure they see my eyes. Mark says, well, I tell you, my 4-year-old, 5-year-old said, and Cain Velasquez's name came up. So this is where we're going with this. And, he said, you know, my kid went to a preschool and I met everybody at the preschool. And I said to them, I said, you guys all seem like nice guys and you don't know a lot about me. So what I'd like to tell you is that if anything happens to my son, you know, anything bad happens to my son, I need to pre-notify you that everything bad will happen to all of you. His wife didn't know he was going to do this. She's sitting there and, you know, it's a middle-class community. She's very, and he's like, just put his hand up. You know, as a husband and father of the family, your primary duty is fucking security. These fathers who are hustling their 8-year-old sons out because the priest were having a sleepover at your house, you fucking failed. Security. He shushes the wife and says, let me be very clear. All of you. I might look like a nice guy, but all of you would pay in the most crucial way possible. I just wanted to get that out there. And I said, what did they do? And he said, let us introduce you to the entire staff, which I'm sure he was thought was a way for them to address his concerns. In my mind, that was a way of pre-notifying the staff of, this is the fucking lunatic. Make sure nothing happens to this kid. We don't want a scratched leg, a broken arm on the ground, none of that. He wanted them to see his eyes and know that by no measure at all was he fucking around. And I appreciate that. And I said, well, this other guy that we know, that we know in common, also in, actually, this guy's corporate VP, so we're not going to mention his name. He said, you know, he came from a crappy area in Chicago. And he said he climbed a tree while he saw one guy lose a fight. He's a kid when this happened. Guy lost the fight. And as a consequence of losing the fight, the guy had sand and a broomstick jammed up his ass. I don't know what the connection between the broomstick was jammed in the sand before it was jammed up his ass, or sand and a broomstick. We didn't get into details yesterday, which is when he told me the story. Now, this guy wanted to get out of the city, you know, father got a great job to go to Arizona. First day of school, father comes and picks him up and says, how was school, son? He goes, it's okay, but the teacher hit me today, you know? I mean, apparently in Chicago, they would rape you with a broomstick in sand, but the teachers didn't hit you. He goes, which teacher? He says, that guy over there. My friend's father, without another word, breaks into a full run for the teacher. The teacher looks up, sees him, and begins running. He catches him on the baseball field, and he beats the slop out of this teacher. The father's a corporate attorney. these are like middle-class white folks who just like, nah, 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 nah. Now, Carlos Watson at one point told me, the disgraced CEO, former CEO of Ozzy, said that his teachers in Florida wanted to hit him. And they asked his father, could you give us an okay to Florida? Could you give us an okay to discipline your son by striking him? And the father goes, yeah, sure. Let me tell you, call me. Let me know before you do so I can be there and watch. The school thought this was decidedly weird and as a consequence never ended up hitting his son. But you know, in this day and age, when people seem to view, I'm not quite clear because we've had this discussion with people, and this is going to segue into a story that I'm going to tell you that is fucking disturbing. It is disturbing, and I don't even know if I should be telling it. Media hasn't picked it up yet in this town, and I don't know. Yeah, Carlos Watson. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna tell you the story anyway. And we are in process. It hasn't hit the press. It hasn't hit the police blotter. It hasn't. They are deciding what's going on. So get ready. This kid, let's say he's in second grade, which makes him 7 years old, has impulse control problems to the extent that he said, okay, this kid has temper tantrums, impulse control problems that have become legend throughout the school district from 7 years old. Terrible, like just flips out. The school district is afraid of his parents because the father is a police officer and the mother's a lawyer. So they turn it back on the school district and say, the problem is that you don't have aides in the classroom aides. A classroom aide could easily help our son get over these, you know, minor bumps. Well, now you can't hit the kids anymore, right? In Palo Alto School District, California School District, or anywhere, maybe lots of places. I never hit my kids in anger. I mean, when we're training, yeah, but I hit them, but you know, but not in anger. Or not, it's a punishment tool. And so now they have an aide, a special designated aide in the classroom when the kid flips out and has a tantrum, of which he does this quite often, right? No effort is made to correct the kid's behavior, but a protocol is developed to work around the kid. The kid starts having a tantrum, you know, throwing over his desk, throwing his books around the room, hurling his backpack. The teacher has been instructed to empty the class, not put your hands on the kid, empty the classroom, you know, and I guess fuck the educations of the other 20 kids in the classroom. This kid is important. So they clear the classroom and they have a protocol until he calms down. And then I don't know what happens to the other 20 kids, but this is the standard thing that has happened. They try to push the parents push back, they go, fuck it, we got a protocol now. So this has gone on for a couple of years. So now this kid is in fourth grade, which means he's 9. And he's having a tough school year. Every school year for this kid is going to be tough. One day, a substitute teacher comes in. Now, I'm still telling you the kid's like 9 or 10 at this point, but I do not believe for a second that this story happened years ago. We are talking about this just happening. So one day, the normal teacher, scheduled teacher, is not in. And they have a substitute teacher in the classroom who is 8 months pregnant. And the kid has a tantrum. The teacher doesn't know about the protocol, emptying the classroom, not engaging with the kid, waiting for the aide. The aide wasn't there for some reason. So she goes and tries to calm the kid down. The kid attacks her, starts punching her in the abdomen, throwing a upends a desk, throws a desk at her, punching her in the abdomen. She loses an 8-month-old fucking baby. Baby dies. We're talking last week, the week before. Dead. 8 months. Dead. So the kid has been suspended, removed from the school. The woman who lost the fetus, apparently, and keep in mind, this is grapevine shit, scant information. None of the information I have is official. Hasn't made the newspapers. My understanding is that the teacher, of course, suing the school district, as she should, and suing the parents of this fucking monster. The cop father and the mother lawyer are, of course, suing the school district for having created a situation that now has exposed their son as a murdering piece of shit. Where was the aid? How come my kid is not? That's it. That's it. This happened. I mean, what do you do? None of us believe in hitting our kids anymore. And I mean that in all our honestness and earnestness. When I had four daughters, I don't know, maybe fathers and sons feel differently. Never hit my kids. Would easily chase a teacher and beat a teacher who hit my kids. Completely understand Cain Velasquez. Understand, though I don't, I would prefer silent methods that don't have me arrested. Yes. Allegedly. Thank you. That's right. Oh, this is a legend. What am I know? I've been drinking. I could just made this up. So what do you do? We don't believe in hitting kids. The cop father and the lawyer mother, it seems like you shunting your problem off on like somebody once said, we hire representatives to do which we used to do ourselves. If I look outside and see somebody stealing my bicycle, the proper order of events is that I call the police. I call my representative to deal with somebody stealing my bicycle, though it's quite easy for me to walk out with my gun and go, get the fuck off that bike. Oh, we have representatives. So but from the parents' point of view, where were the representatives that we've hired to make sure that the kid that I've entrusted entrusted to you two for the day doesn't do shit like this? It doesn't, for the school to turn around and go, where's the home training? Does your kid have tantrums like this at home? I can't believe the cop father puts up with this at home. Whose fault in the response? The kid's not going to jail. He's not going to jail. Yeah, second scout, the police are about minutes away. And I hope to. So the kid's not going to jail. The kid, he's old enough now. What? He's 10, 11. He's old enough now. He knows what he's done. So they're saying, no, damages. My son is damaged. So where do, you know, on the one hand, the temptation is like the show theme. It all happened so fast. Flash forward, flash back. Three friends of mine, I know all of these people, go to a bar, have a few drinks. They're all in their early to mid 20s. They go to have a few drinks at a bar. These guys I knew when I was a bodybuilder, weightlifter. These are weightlifting guys. They got a little size on them, but they're like 20. Go to a bar and they're playing pool. Two guys, one of the guys' girlfriends. Girlfriend's very attractive. Remember her. She went out dressed like maybe attractive women do. So they're playing pool. Shooting pool. You know, people want to play in. You can't monopolize a table. And I don't know whether these guys were Samoan or Tongan. For the purposes of this discussion, let me give you a racial breakdown. guy number one is either a biracial guy who's been adopted by a white family or a white guy with ethnic features. Girlfriend, blonde, blue-haired, that white chick. Third part of the trio, black guy. The bar, I don't know whether Samoans or Tongans, let's say Polynesians, just to be on the safe side. Playing the girlfriend is with the guy who was either adopted by the white family and presents as white, or the with ethnic features, or the biracial guy, whatever. So the Samoans at first start, the Polynesians start saying stuff to the girlfriend. At first, the comments are kind of, when they don't get any pushback from the boyfriend, they drinks are consumed, games go on, they get a little pushier. Dude, boyfriend, says nothing. Finally, the friend, the black guy, know all these guys, and I've gotten Rashomon style, gotten the story from everybody except for the woman. That guy says, at one point, I say, hey, yo, bro, that's enough. This is a girl, this girlfriend, leave her alone. So what do you mean, leave her alone, homie? So as I say, you're being kind of rude. That's all I'm saying, you know. I'm just saying you're just being a little rude. The guy says, you don't like it, homie? I said, no, I'm just saying you could be more polite. You want me to be polite? Well, long story much shorter. They get a fight breaks out. The dude who spoke up first is being hit with pool cues. Getting the shit beaten out of him. I'm being told the story by the guy who's getting beaten. Well, he said, look, Bill didn't do anything. That's the boyfriend. So, you know, in the name of you have gym enforcers in bodybuilding days, you have gym diplomats. I'm the gym diplomat. I want everybody to be happy. So, as befitting a kid of divorce, I want everybody to be happy. So I go to Bill and say, hey, Bill, dude says, you know, you just stood there and watched while they beat him with pool cues. And Bill was like, yo, Eugene, it happened so fast. So I go back to the other guy and say, hey, you know, I talked to Bill about it. He just said it happened so fast, man. You got to take a shot. Sometimes you get sucker punched. I go, sucker punched? He goes, yeah, you know, you get sucker punched. You just got to take it on the chin. Go about your way with much additional knowledge. You don't know. He goes, sucker punched? That's what he said? I go, yeah, that's what he said, man. It just happened so fast. He goes, Eugene, they beat me for 20 fucking minutes. I go, what was Bill doing for 20 minutes? I don't know, because I was hiding under the pool table where they were jamming me with sticks. And then when I come out the other side, they beat me some more. And then they would jam me with sticks and beat me some more. They would beat me back and forth and back and forth. I don't know what Bill was doing. I go, did he leave? Oh, no, he was there. And I was like, that's a fucking bitch. So now I go back to Bill. I said, he said it was 20 minutes. He goes, it wasn't 20 minutes. And so now I got a he said situation. But the point is, and this ties in, you know, it's over so quick. It wasn't over quick. It started with the first fucking comment. Listen, if you're going to be in a place where there's drinks and pool tables and you get that kind of shit off the bat, you need to go out to your trunk. Those who have the ears to hear me know what I'm saying. I'm sorry, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. You go outside and you come back in. It's a bar here in the local environs to where I am now. I could ask Bill. I'm still friends with Bill and find out. It started way before people thought it started. This kid who killed the fetus, it started way before, years, when the kid was in second grade. What do you do? What representative, when your kid is acting the fool, who's the representative that you seek to deal with this? You go to the school? How much time is a 7-year-old spending in school? The kid's been throwing tantrums forever. And I can't figure out whether the parents are cynical opportunists and like, hey, the door's open, I'm going to step through it. Or they truly believe that they are the aggrieved parties here. You have a fucking problem in your house that you foisted on the rest of the world and are shocked at the outcome. Yeah, it could have been downtown San Jose. Yeah, it was here in the Bay Area. It was here in the Bay Area on the peninsula. So I'll find out. I'll ask Bill because I want to know too. So, I mean, at what point do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much I have to pay in tuition for a 2.5-year-old to go to a good pre-K for 3 hours a day? In the comments, sorry, SoundCloud folks, sorry. In the comments, leave a random sampling of numbers, and when I get to 3 separate guesses, I will let you know. You do it as your time allows. Time lapse. I'll tell you when I get to 3 numbers. All of this stuff happens. There's no quick. There's no such thing as quick. There's no such thing as quick. We're talking monthly. Fucking BC. You out of your fucking mind? And Zach, is that 10K a month or is that 10K a year? In either case, I'll ask you if you're out of your minds. Okay, one more guess. Cash-wise, one more guess. Come on. You can do it. Okay. I'm gonna put you out of your misery right now. A month. Yeah. Oh, look at SS. Very close. A month. 20. Where's my checkbook? Where is it? I cleaned up this place. $2,400 a fucking month for 3 hours a day. Not always a 5-day week. Right? Now, you know what you get for that money. You get teachers that don't molest your kids. You get teachers that don't let other kids flip over tables and imperil your child. You get in-classroom meals, you know, you get teachers of understanding. They start off the session by telling you, we don't teach here. We don't teach here. I go, what does that mean? They said, well, if we go out on a morning walk and one of the kids is asking why there's moisture in the grass, we tell them that they're dew fairies. Dew fairies. So, yeah. I said, listen, I made a promise to myself a long time ago. My oldest kid is 26, that I would never bullshit my kids. So unless you have some insider information about the existence of dew fairies, I'm going to have to call bullshit on that and explain condensation and weather changes and things that my kid is perfectly able to. I explained gravity to my kid the other day very simply by dropping something. I go, how come it didn't float up? Like the balloon floats up. Talked about it. Gravity. I didn't say balloon fairies. They said, well, we're just trying to get across to you that this is not a school. It's not a fucking school. What am I paying for? Okay, well, I'm paying for socialization. And that's what it did. You know, they hit me with, I'm sorry, don't get me started with the money thing. I'll make this brief. They hit me with, recently, a request for $1,000 more. Well, what is this for? Well, it's an application fee. Well, we've been here a year. What do you mean application fee? It's an application fee. You have to, you know, it's like we bill you because we have to bill you. Okay, but that's still not $1,000. What's $1,000 for? The $700 is a facility fee. Hey, JW's here. Facility fee. Okay, well, at least this is you know, contribute to the, this is, you can, it rolls over into the tuition. Oh, no, no. It's $2,400 plus $1,000. So you guys will be signing up for, no. No, we're not coming back. Oh, where are you going then? I found another place. It's bigger, better, cheaper, where all my other kids went. Oh, well, we're going to miss you. I said, yeah. Perfectly appropriate place to say, we're going to miss you too. But that's not, I'm not missing that. Keep your fucking do fairies, okay? The point is, and you won't believe how this ties into MMA, because of course it does tie into MMA. This past week, we talk about quickness. As you've been able to figure out, care don't care is dead. Some people online were saying like, oh, well, it's on hiatus. And they go, oh, it's so sudden. Bro, it hasn't been sudden. It has pay-per-view fairies. Yeah, that's, I should just do that for everything. They're fairies for everything. I can't find my pipe. I got a pipe fairy. Well, you'll be happy to know that I spent the vast majority of my week month looking for my keys. My 65 Chevy has been sitting undriven. I have 7 anti-theft things on it. Can't find the fucking keys. I can't find the keys. Can't start the car. You know how much I'd have to do to you know. I just tear apart the office, finally find the fucking keys, and I go to Home Depot, me and the kid, and we make copies of the keys. So now I can start the car again. But what the fuck? Okay. I need to clean the place up. I would show it to you, but it's an embarrassment. The MMA portion. So it wasn't fast. The guy was like, hiatus, not hiatus. Show's done. It's dead. It was never my show to begin with. I got pulled in. I think that was the first show I did. Dallas. Let me tell you about that guy. Yeah, no, man. The car, I 7 anti-theft things. You see some of these things? I can't even, the key. Kill switches. I got a metal. Let me tell you, it's outfitted for Armageddon. So, but I finally got the keys. That's not the point. The point is what we're talking about. Let's stay on track here. Is that the killing of care don't care. This wasn't sudden, but it was an interesting two-step. And this is how it all dies. If you have a 14-fight card, and you have 2 cares on that card, can you really claim that your show is an MMA show? Everything quick. If with those with the eyes to see, this stuff is not quick. Go back to some of the old cares. Don't care. You got to. I noted it. I put a pin in it when we did. I go, this is the first fight we've had that's under 500. They go, what do you mean? Where we had, there are more fights on the card that we don't care about than that we care about. We didn't know that was a harbinger of things. This was the moment in the bar where the Polynesian cat goes, nice titties. Well, you need to say, I'm going to go for smoke, and you come back in with some weight. That's that moment. That's the moment we're talking about. Because if 4 weeks in a row, we have these apex fight cards with 1 care on the card, what kind of show are we doing? Listen, let me tell you, I almost got beaten up. Yeah. Hey, listen. You know what Nate is, he's texting me right now. He's like, he wants to put me on what is it, his show, Let It Roll podcast, and he's trying to Tom Sawyer me into it. He's like, you know, I don't have musicians on the show, but you've written a memoir, so I want to talk about the memoir. Great. He goes, could you send me a free copy? It's like, man, you use that word you never use with Eugene. Free? Oh, it's a review copy. I said, man, I'll send you the sales excerpt of a few chapters. Anything else, you got to buy. Unless you go to the publisher, get it from me, it's cash changing hands. So it was a long time coming. And have you noticed? I don't know if you've noticed in your news feed, if you get Google News, Apple News, but there is a healthy section under the headline, under the rubric, wrestling. Wrestling, not professional wrestling, wrestling. However, there is no real wrestling under the wrestling headline. It is professional wrestling. Wrestling, sports, entertainment. This is now easily, if you go Apple News or Google News, it's easily got its own section. Okay, it's my algorithm. It feeds me what I've expressed an interest in. So they go, they've made the jump because I've never expressed any, I never click on anything with pro wrestling. But because I'm interested in the UFC, that he also be interested in this because, of course, it's now TKO, whatever they decided to call this holding company that includes WWE and low man on the totem pole, UFC. Okay. So the show fundamentally had the gall. Keep in mind, it's not owned by Vox anymore. Are you going to pay for us to shit on these shows? The guys who want to beat me up was a company called, right here, Audio Technica. Did them for a mic issue, 10 mics. One of the mics I called a prosumer. Now, when I was in a position to try to sell some musical instrument stuff, some amps and heads, I realized, man, these guys make a lot of these things, and it's hard to sell them. It's not easy. I thought, why? Because they're expensive and they're big, and if you own one that's good, it lasts a long time. So they take it seriously. You call one of their mics prosumer, they took me behind the baffle. Had it not been me, I'm sure they would have punched me in the face. You called the mic prosumer. The fuck? And I asked the guy Larry Crane from Tape Op, and I said, Larry, how do you handle shit like this? Now they're threatening to pull ads from me. It's kind of fucked up. You're the competition, but I gotta ask. He goes, well, I'll review it. If I don't like it, I'll pass it to dude. If he doesn't like it, they'll pass it to everybody on the staff. If nobody likes it, they go back to the guy and say, hey, nobody here likes it. What do you want us to do about this? And that typically most of them will take it back and they'll remove it from the issue. Who are you serving? Are you serving the reading public as a journalist? Are you informing a public that needs this as a service? Well, the public gets a magazine for free. Okay, so who pays for it? These MI guys, musical instrument guys. So those are your bosses. Go back to them. Let them take the mic back. Got it. So probably what should have happened is, you know, we figure, look, we are only interested in two fights of the 14 fights, but let us use a different scale. Let us take these 12 fights that we don't care about and figure out who will care about these fights. You know what? That's more thought given to the fights than anybody who works at the professional corporation has put into those fucking fights. You wouldn't have 12 dogs on a card if anybody, Hunter, Sean Shelby, also known as Keith, or the bald one, had put any thought into these. They don't care. How many times do you go to the restaurant and find a condom in your fucking rice before you say, I don't think these guys care? You keep coming back after that. You're coming back for the condoms. So nothing that happens is quick. It's so sudden. None of this happens suddenly. A friend of mine puts up posts that he's in the hospital in Paris. I go, bro, what the fuck are you doing? What's happening? And he just sends me this long text. It's like, okay, no, I know dude had hep C, but I didn't. Fell off the curb, broke the hip, is now and then. He's got the blood poisoning. Oh, shit. Dude, 66, falling apart. This happens. Is it quick? It's been happening. I got his book here. I got a couple of his books. He has an imaginary funeral in one of his books. Nothing is quick. It's just quick to those who don't seem like they're paying attention. Don't seem like they're paying attention. So if you've been keeping track, you do know now I got nothing to do with Bloody Elbow. Showstopper's not on Bloody Elbow. If the Shoes Fit is not on Bloody Elbow, it's not on Bloody Elbow. Every now and then we do some cross-pollination. Care Don't Care is gone. Yeah. So what I could put this on Bloody Elbow, but I don't, you know, financially, I don't know how to, you know, well, there are many more people who watch Bloody Elbow than watch the show, but I'm not talking about exclusively MMA content. So why would I do that? So the point is that nothing. And so when I look at this stuff, when I look at this back and forth with Ngannou and the bald one, let me tell you what you're seeing. What you're seeing is the abject face of fear. The bald one, this is not the same bald one, because in-house, the bald one is not the same, the big dick of the walk anymore. That's Vince McMahon. You know how long it took MMA to have its own little category? A long time. And based on the deal with ESPN, this solves a lot of problems for me. You know, these Apex fights were eating up my Saturday nights when I could be with my kids, and I go rush from jiu-jitsu Sunday morning and do this care don't care. I don't have to watch any of the fights now, which is beautiful. But I'm not the only one. ESPN Plus is like, yeah, it's time to re-up. Guess what? We're raising the price from $60 in June to $90. Who the fuck you are? I'm out. And Ngannou is like, I'll give $2 million to anybody who's going to fight me. Do you think anybody in heavyweight in the UFC right now, that doesn't sound attractive to? Because right before Ngannou said that, he also revealed how much he was getting paid. Okay, we'll give you 110 to show and 110 to win. $220? I'm tuning sheer pleasure of fun, tuning into the fights for sheer pleasure of fun. yeah. Listen, on rare occasions. Honest to God, at this point, on rare occasions, there are probably 5 fighters that can get me to stand up and go across the room and say, I got to see this fight. And that's the God's honest truth. You know, love Daniel Rodriguez. Not going to be, you know. There are a lot of fighters who, you know, like to see, but not must see. Not many fighters like to see, not need to see. And we know what those fights are because those are the fights that are full of celebrities and everybody's kidding. They don't know what the fuck is going on. Look, I'm willing to watch the other stuff because I know where there was a time when, oh, who's this guy? John Jones, John Bones Jones. I guess they call him that because he's skinny. And who is he fighting? Oh, he's fighting Stephen Bonner. Bonner's going to kill him. Uh-oh. Nah, I'm sticking around to make the bald one's life miserable. But let me tell you, with the UFC thing, they don't care about their product. I'm not coming to the restaurant for condoms. I can get condoms anywhere. I don't need to go to a restaurant to get them. Not my rice. Improve the quality of your product. And now, from the other side, he's being buffeted. If you're a fighter, heavyweight fighter with some promise, and you got one fight on your contract, you know where you're going. You know where you're going. And, you know, Johnny Boney Joni, who thought he was so slick, who thought he had run laps around Ngannou, hustled him out, and got the big check at the UFC, now is looking like a clown because apparently Miocic is out of contract. And he could go to PFL right now and fight for $2 million. He's not getting $2 million out of the UFC anytime soon. To fight who? Johnny Boney Joni? You think he's going to fight Johnny Boney Joni for $2 million? While Johnny Boney Joni himself gets 12 or 15? Nah. Also, John Nash's coverage that reveals that this number that we've been touting about, oh, what other, they give their athletes 20%. And then we kind of said, well, that's 17%. And now it's revealed 13%. You know, I knew a guy who liked to go to hookers, but you didn't see that coming. And he didn't like to go to hookers because he liked to have sex with hookers necessarily. He was in love with the haggling. Now, it didn't work out the best for him. If you remember the story, they're haggling in the front seat. Finally, they agree on a price. She goes, well, take your pants off. Takes his pants off, climbs into the back seat. she runs off down the street with his pants. Like Sleeping State says, everybody's barreled. They're all barreled. But it's okay, because the ones who are heavyweight, who got one fight left in the contract, they know where they need to go. What this is are holes in the ship. And if you don't think the bald one sees it, you got to know the bald one sees it. He's trying to get out too. How do I know? Pushing heavily this accused anal rapist kind of McNuggets on this Netflix show, which I just keep walking on by. Yeah, buddy. Exactly, BC. That's exactly right. Sounds like the record industry. 12%. You know, my first record had 47 bands on it. It's a Not So Quiet on the Western Front Maximum Rock and Roll compilation. They took 12% and divided it by 47 bands. And I did get a check from it. But that was, you know, that was, and those were commies running that label. Commies. Okay. So if you're heavyweight, you got one fight, you're going. You got, now suddenly he seemed like an outlier before. Yeah, it was Whipping Boy. Yeah, Demetrius Johnson doesn't seem so out of sorts now. You know, Demetrius Johnson is not doing what I think the Italian word is, infamia. It may have been a joke. It may have been a troll. It was sent to me by one of my spies. Maybe you've seen it. BKFC is going to have a fight, and they've booked Mark Coleman to fight accused anal rapist Conor McNuggets. Could be a joke. I am hoping against hope that is some coke-fueled phantasm thought up by the Irishman. I don't know if you've seen Mark Coleman lately. Mark Coleman, who's younger than I am. Mark Coleman's got a lot of miles on him. Listen, I have an ex who's a blondie, and she's talking to me about all these problems that she's having, you know, all these skin problems. She was a sun lover, sitting in the sun and growing up in Southern California, the beaches and the sun. Now he's got these horrible lesions on her body. It's like, what? She got to pay the fucking piper. I don't know what Coleman's been doing. Yes, they make fun of me when I take off my shirt at jujitsu, but I'm not looking as bad as Coleman. Not by any stretch, any way, shape, or form, am not. Not at all. Not even a little bit. And the idea of him getting in the cage to fight bare knuckle with accused anal rapist Conor McGregor, McNuggets, is depressing. Depressing. Yeah, you drink, you can't. Look, you know the people I know? Out of all the people I know, all the drug users I know, you know who looks the best? I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know who looks the best. Yeah, man, I'm 60. I'll be 61. I don't know. No, as a category. Sleeping State, as a category. No, not David Yao. I'm not talking about people or category. I'm talking about junkies. Junkie. I just cut through the junkies look the best. I know a woman who was a junkie for 10 years. She looks fucking great. She's clean, looks great. Something about slowing the body down. They talk about free divers. Slowing, makes you look good. Sam Alvey, they're talking about Sam Alvey being in the Hall of Fame. That's another headline that struck me. It's like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Are you fucking crazy? Sam Alvey in the Hall of Fame on the basis of what? Why don't you just say everybody who you jobbed gets in the Hall of Fame so that way they leave you alone? A bunch of broken down guys in the Midwest sitting in a bar. You know, I'm a Hall of Famer. Hey, give that Hall of Famer a drink. Yeah, drinking will fuck you up. I'm vain. Hey, I don't know about the steroids. But yeah, steroids will speed your shit up. I'll tell you something else. I routinely looked about 3 or 4 years younger than me. When I was auditioning for, when I got Leonard Part 6, it was a miracle that I got Leonard Part 6 because I didn't look like the age I was. I always looked younger. Steroids, however, manified me. By which I say, I finally started looking like a man with the steroids, which also means aged me. But yeah, mixing the cocaine, the sun, and the drinking, and the fighting. Yeah, maybe. Mark Coleman looks broken. I would almost donate money. Well, let's not get crazy. I would almost donate money to some GoFundMe campaign to keep him out of the ring. No 58-year-old man should do it unless he wins. Boy, would that be a Rocky story. But you know, if you remember, we all love these Rocky stories. Let's be frank. Rocky didn't win the fight, right? He didn't win the fight. You know, Adrian, he just survived. He didn't win. You know, oh, that's some next level toughness there. Okay. Oh, he did. So it's real. Oh my God. You know, I'd like to set up some kind of petition or something, man. But let me tell you a story. We'll end on this story. Okay. So there's a benefit for sex workers in San Francisco. I participated in it. And Mr. Robinson, what are you doing? You doing in the show, the sex worker thing. It's a benefit for sex workers. I want to help sex. I can think of lots of ways to help sex workers, but participating in a benefit for them is one of the ways. Okay. So my wife is a pole dancer and a pole instructor and a pole competitor, and she's Polish. So it all kind of lines up. So she's doing the show. So she says, I want you in the show. So I'm going to do this routine. Going to use Justify My Love. You're going to walk out festooned in leather, grab me, this whole thing. Going to do the dance on you. It's sexy time, right? I'm like, great. I'm in. Get paid for this, right? Yeah, it's a benefit for us sex workers. All right. So we do this show. And there's a whole backstage. There's no green room. There's a backstage area. Now, if you've ever been involved in the pole community at all, part of the big deal is it's about body acceptance, right? This is San Francisco. So the fact that there are 3 or 4 women backstage that weigh about 300 pounds, that there are some trans men backstage or trans women backstage, this is to be expected. I'm not Hulk Hogan. This is not bothering me. I'm familiar. And one of the strippers is big. She's big, not just heavy, but big as well. I'm like, I stand up and she's tall than I. She's not wearing heels either. Right? She's tall, like big, a hockey player big. Now she's got elf ears on. Now I can't tell whether she's got elf ears on or she's actually had her ears surgically modified to appear to be elf ears. I'm not staring. I'm not asking. She's talking. She seems nice enough. She also has facial tattoos in what I think is an unfortunate location. They're all along her chin here, very much where you might have a beard. But, you know, if that's the look you want, God love you, none of my business. Right. And she also probably weighs about 280, you know, not fat, big, you know, big giant tetes and the whole bit. And she's obsessed with the time. I got to get out, in the time, there's no stage management. This shit is going on forever. I got there at 4, didn't get out of there until 10:30. It's rough. I know it doesn't sound rough, but what you're imagining versus what it was, very different. It was rough. mostly because it was cold. I'm tired. And I didn't look, bro, I don't have any food. You get this is a green room? What is that? A carrot? Nah, bro, not touching that carrot. Don't know what the fuck. Is that a stage prop or is that the deli tray? Come on. Next time, provide some food. There's guacamole and chips, but that's way out front. So she does her deal, and the crowd is hooting and hollering, right? I mean, they're digging this. I can't barely see. I'm peeking through, and she's killing it. She's doing a great job. And she gets off the stage, and she comes back, and she's gathering her stuff up. She's got a handful of money, and she's gathering her stuff up, and she's like, I got to get to work. And somebody says, what do for work? She goes, I'm a sex worker. Escort, right? She's got to go fucking get to work, start fucking and sucking. And she's talking about, she's like, I'm also involved in, you know, part of my thing is harm reduction, you know, needle exchange, you know, and I thought she's going to end there. And she goes down this laundry list of causes. And I said, there's a really major fundamental disconnect here. If I'm retaining your services as a sex worker and you show up with a fucking clipboard, I don't save the whales, no nukes, school districting, fucking anti-gentrification. You see, you have fundamentally misunderstood the nature of the business. And come for that. You, unless you are BDSM, and this is part of it, you are subjecting me to cruel and inhuman punishment where I just needed a load transfer specialist. I got a load. I need to transfer it. Please help. That's it. And so all from this whole time, I'm like, okay, okay, okay. And then when I hear, like, you want to feel less weird or guilty about what you're doing, I like the Chinese expression. The Chinese expression is, don't laugh at the prostitute, laugh at the poor person. It's a legitimate saying. But this is usually in Chinese. But that she's taking all these... Hey, man, I tried to do stand-up, and they never have me come back because they realize I'm not joking. I'm saying shit that's funny, but I'm not joking. So you're really going to subject me. You're really going to subject me to this. Right? You feel bad about what you're doing, so you're going to subject me to this. So now I feel bad about what we're doing. I guess where it's equal playing field, equity all around, wonderful. There's a friend of mine. Went to a escort once. And the escort comes out, well, this is patchouli and this is sandalwood. And it, which would you like? And my friend says, take your clothes off. Maybe we start with that. Well, I do this. This was nowhere in the ad. All these the oils and this massages and the nowhere in the ad. Well, you know, what music would you like? Music? Give a fuck about the music. Well, you know, we got the this and the that. And I, you know, I know somebody who's trying to pad the shit when I see it. I mean, my friend knew somebody who was trying to pad the shit when they see it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start with your back. And my back. There's nothing you could do to my back. I mean, there's nothing that my friend said that you could do to my back that I'm willing to pay for. And then she gets a little touchy and says, so you just came for the fucking. I'm sorry. I'm confused. Do you also sell bagels? Is there something else going on here that I missed? And so she dismissively goes, well, if you just want to fuck, then fine, let's do it. No, it was a girlfriend experience, being that she would be kissing me on the face. That's not what I was getting. I mean, my friend was getting. So then the decision has been made. If that's what you want, if that's what you want, you're going to lay there and you, oh, now my service provider is going to make it miserable and unpleasant for me. For my friend, just by laying there. Okay, you know what? You know what? Let's do this. Let's do this. You have been retained for an hour. We are 6 minutes into that hour with this bullshit thing with the scent and the oils and the incense and all the lights and the music and all that bullshit. And now you're tapping out. So let's get about having 54 minutes of sexual contact. Oh, you think it's going to be a 3 second? Nah, nah, nah. Not when you got a guy who appreciates the value of a dollar. Pay for an hour. I want the hour. And there, you could see there was a point at which the service provider was like, oh, shit. We're 25 minutes into straight thrusting. I guess he's going to. And at that point, a decision was made. I could see this decision was made. It's like, I'm being kind of a bitch here. This could be all right. Maybe I should try enjoying it. So at the half hour mark, the decision was made by the service provider to start enjoying it. But you see, not then I was irked. Right? Because at the end of this hour, though a load will have been transferred, I'm irked and you feel great. How does that work? I didn't need multiple shots, man. I was going for one 54. My friend was going for one for 54 minutes. So, you know, I mean, look, I've gone to sandwich shops and gotten arguments with people over the sandwich. It happens. I almost got into a fight with a cab driver in Montreal when I went and did this show last week. It happens. You could say this for say this is a gender weird gender. It's not weird gender. It's a service and a service provider and a customer, the client. But my point is, none of this stuff happens quickly. None of it. So read the Substack. Of course, it seems like it's a pro-Trump Substack, and it sort of kind of is. It sort of kind of is. That's right. Right. It sort of seems like it is, and it's actually kind of is. But you have to read it carefully. Albert Speer comes up. Hitler comes up. Take a drink. DeSantis comes up. Tina Turner comes up. But none of this stuff happens quickly. 2024, can't be too soon. If you follow me on Instagram, you see I use the place that I'm fleeing to. It's a computer-aided design. I guess I could have put towers and it could have made it look Arabic. I don't know. Dust comes in from Morocco. I am apparently 40 minutes by ferry from Africa, which I will be going to a lot as well. Why? Back to the motherland. No, Kissinger. He's still alive. Just because he had a birthday, fuck that guy. He's a murdering sack of shit. And Mr. Iz wanted me to cover something else, and I've forgotten what that is. Anyway, we've gone 10 minutes over. I'm going to give you back to your Sunday. The Cure played here last night in San Francisco. I was actually depressed that I didn't get a call from Robert Smith after upping him as one of the few guys you'd want to have behind you in an actual fist fight. Ian Asbury being the other one. Apparently, these are the guys least likely that you expected in goth rock who can actually fight or have fought or are willing to fight. Yeah, man. That guy is a murdering fool. True believer or cynical opportunist? Henry Kissinger. You tell me. He is the worst. He is both. He's a cynical opportunist who is also a true believer. Trent Reznor does not have hands, man. No way. The guy has got a shrink that comes in and a color analyst before he can go into any room. Don't even start with me. Anyway, this has been two. Okay. he's got hands. I'm not believing it. I've heard, never heard that before. People who've worked with him, that's a surprise. Well-kept secret. Good. Anyway, this is 2-6-4. I think that's what it is of the UJ Robinson Showstopper. Since now the schedule is different, Tuesday we have, if the shoes fit, it'll be, we're going to do it early because I got some stuff later on. We're going to film it early, but it should be, Alexi will run at normal time. Substack is there. I got some pieces coming up. Danzig says he can fight, clearly cannot fight. Used to wrestle, however. So that's reliably count on a single leg or an attempted double leg that you can count on. So there'll be a Memorex again on if the shoes fit. I think there'll be a little if I did thing. Kid Nate is going to have me on Let It Roll podcast. June 14th, going to be on Alta TV Live. That's a big deal. Alta TV, talking mostly about the Aussie article, which will run June 7th, I think. June 7th is also when I'm up in Seattle doing the first Big Boss, Bad Boss Brief Live. Bad Boss Brief on Monday. Monday at 1:00. I don't think we do that live anymore either since we moved it to Substack. But June would be the one to know because I don't know what's going on. I just do the talking. Anyway, thanks for listening. Sorry it went over overly long, but it is what it is. We'll see you next weekend. Is there a fight? I'll be the last to know. You let me know if it's worth watching. Let's do it like that. Until then, we'll see you soon. Look what you made me do! Don't die, Blondie. Don't die. Thank you.